Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Hey, and we are at the Mishnah about 20 lines from the top of daf Kuf Chaf Dalid Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Meir ben Chanala, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chiskiyo ben Basya, Chaim Biyom ben Mordechai ben Ida, Chiskiyo Shlomo Ziske ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Kreindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, and Chavez Serol bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned. Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So the Gemara in the 17th parak of Masechta Shabbos is continuing to discuss halachos of Muktzah, specifically as it relates to kelim. Zok de Mishnah, kol ha-kelim, ani tolim b'Shabbos. Any keli that one is allowed to carry on Shabbos, meaning any keli that's not muktzah, shivreyem nitolim imahem. If you have a broken piece of that keli, you'd be allowed to carry it as well. The Gemara is going to discuss whether we're dealing with a keli that broke before Shabbos, or whether we're dealing with a keli that broke on Shabbos. Either way, the Mishnah says that any keli that you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos, not only can you be metaltal the keli, but you can be metaltal the shivrei kelim, any broken part of that keli. Ubavad, there's one caveat, however, and that is shiu oisamei malacha. It's only true if you're able to use this shard of the keli to do something. Meaning, if it has no function at all, even though it's part of a keli that is in and of itself functional, it's part of a keli that's not muktzah, but it would be muktzah unless you're able to do something with this broken shard of this keli. For example, shivri areva, if you have a mixing bowl that broke, so the halacha is l'chasas panas pi achavis, as long as you can take this shard now and cover the opening of a chavis, so it's functional, you could do a malacha with it, that would be enough to say that, being that it's part of a keli, the keli itself is not muktzah, this shever won't be muktzah either. Another example, shivri schuchis, if you have a broken shard of a glass keli, lechasis bahenes piapach, as long as you're able to take this shard and cover the opening of a jug, again, that would be enough to say that you could do something with it. As long as you could do something with it, it wouldn't be considered muktzah. Yehuda, Imi Rabbi Yehuda argues. He says that it's not enough that this shever be functional in order for it to not be muktzah, but rather, bilvach yu oisem me'in malachton. Meaning, it's not enough that you can do me'in malacha, but rather it has to be me'in malachton. So if you have a shard of a keli, if the shard can be used for the same purpose that the keli was used, then it's not considered muktzah. If, however, you can use the shard, but you can't use it me'ein malachton, you can't use it for the same thing that it was previously going to be used for, then the halachas would be muktzah. What are his examples? Shivrei areva, latzik l'soichan mikvah. What does somebody use a mixing bowl for? To mix something. So if you're able to take mikvah, you can take a porridge and you can pour it into this shard of the areva, that means you can use the shard me'ein malachton, similar to what the areva itself was used for, so then the halachas wouldn't be considered muktzah. V'shal schuchis, latzik l'toichan shema. What is a glass kli used for? To pour oil into it, for example. So if you can use the shard now to pour something in it, there too, that would be enough for it to be considered that you're allowed to be metaltal, it wouldn't be considered muktzah. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you can use the shivrei areva, you can use the shivrei schuchis, but not me'im malachta, meaning you can use it to pour something in it, you can use it merely to cover something with it. In that case, the halacha is, it would be considered muktzah. So again, the halach of the Mishnah is that any keli that's not muktzah, the shever of the keli, if you have a broken shard of that keli, it's not going to be considered muktzah either. Stating that, you have to read the fine print. It's not always going to be true. When is it true? A machloik is Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rameir, he's mekel. He says, as long as you could do something with the shever, it's functional. Any malacha that could be done with it, even if it's not me'ain, what it was originally going to be used for, but the fact that you can do something with it, that's enough for it to not be considered muktzah. If you can do nothing with it, then it's muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda's machmer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not enough that you could do something with it. The thing that you can do with it has to be me'ein, the original malacha. Only then the halacha is, it's not going to be considered muktzah. If you can't do me'ein the malacha, even if you could do something with it, the halacha is, it would be considered muktzah. So the Gemara now is going to discuss for an omer and a half, the halachos of a shever of a kli. But first, we need to figure out this keli that broke. When did it break? Did it break before Shabbos or did it break on Shabbos? Om Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel, Machloikis, this Machloikis remain Rabbi Yehuda, Shenishbo me Erev Shabbos, is when the keli broke Erev Shabbos. The Marasovar me'im malachton in me'im malacha acheres loy, Umarasovar filo me'im malacha acheres, and we have a Machloikis remain Rabbi Yehuda. As mentioned in the Mishnah, Aval Nishbur b'Shabbos, if however the keli would break on Shabbos, Divrei HaKol Mutarn. Everybody would agree that this shever is always going to be mutar. And the reason is, Hoyol u'muchonin al gabi havia mutar. Because being that in the beginning of Shabbos, when the laws of mukta are determined, Bein Hashmasha is Friday night, this shever was part of a keli, and the keli itself was not mukta. So this shever for the remainder of Shabbos is always going to remain not muktzah. Assuming you could do something with it, it's always going to remain not muktzah. So the machloikis from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only where it was not part of the keli bein hashmashes. As a result, when bein hashmashes comes, we need to figure out, is this shever considered muktzah or is it not considered muktzah? So do we have a machloikis from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of what this shever needs to be able to be used as in order to figure out whether it's going to be muktzah or not? If, however, it was part of its father, quote unquote, it was part of the larger keli, but Knisas HaShabbos, being that that keli for sure wasn't muktzah, so if it breaks later on Shabbos, it retains its status of not being muktzah. Moisef Rav Sutroi, Rav Sutroi asked the kasha from a Mishnah earlier, Masikim Mekelim, Masikim B'Shever Kelim. The halach is that on Yontif, you're allowed to use a wooden keli to fuel a fire. Masikim B'Shever Kelim, you're not allowed to use a shard or a broken keli to fuel a fire. Now, obviously, this halach is Nogei, Yontif is not Nogei on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't light a fire, you can't fuel a fire, but we're dealing with Yontif. Now, on Yontif, we have laws of muktzah, just like we have laws of muktzah on Shabbos. In fact, the first halacha, the first Mishnah, Masechtas Beah, which deals with the laws of Yontif, is a Beah Shenol de Yontif. A Beah that was Noilad. Noilad is a subcategory in the world of Muktzah. We're not discussing a Beah Shenol de Shabbos, but rather a Beah Shenol de Yontif. So the laws of Muktzah are Negea Yontif, just like they're Negea Shabbos. But obviously, there's Chilukim. There are things that will be considered Muktzah on Shabbos that won't be considered Muktzah on Yontif. So we're dealing with a Yontif Shiloh. This would not be a Shiloh on Shabbos. This is a Shiloh on Yontif. On Yontif, we're Melechas Eichel Nefesh is Mutter. On Yontif, we're you're allowed to fuel a fire. So what about a wooden keli? Can I use the wooden keli? Is it muktzah or is it not muktzah? So the price said, masikim b'kelim, you're allowed to take a wooden keli and light a fire with it on Shabbos. Vavei masikim b'shivrei kelim, you're not allowed to take the broken shard of a keli. Says the nishbur emas. When exactly did this keli break? Ein masikim b'shivrei kelim. When did it break? Either with the Erev Yontif. Are we talking about where it broke on Erev Yontif? There's no way that the halacha would be in that case that you can't fuel a fire with it. Why not? Eitzim ba'almanenu. Because then it's just a regular piece of wood. If the keli broke before Yontif, so b'knisas ha'yontif bein hashmashes, the broken shard of the wooden keli was a, what were you going to do with it? You were going to probably fuel a fire with it. There's nothing really to do with it. So it's a regular piece of wood. There's no reason it should be considered muktzah. Ela labi yontif. Must be. When did this keli break? It broke on yontif. Iktani, and you see, masikim b'kelim, masikim b'shiver kelim. And there's halacha that if a keli was functional in the beginning of yontif, and then sometime on yontif it broke, the halacha is you're not allowed to take that shard, throw it into a fire. The kasha is, why not? It's muktzah? Why is it muktzah? I thought any keli that breaks on Shabbos is not considered muktzah, because being that Bein HaShmashes was part of the larger keli, so it was already chal that you're allowed to be metaltal it, so even if it breaks sometime during the course of Shabbos, it's not a problem. And in fact, the machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda that we had in our mission is not even a gay of such a case, because in such a case, it's pashit, the halacha is that it's not going to be a problem. Don't shy this where it broke before Shabbos. The problem is here we have a halacha related to Yontif, not Shabbos, okay, but the point is, Ein Masikim B'Shivrei Kelim, which has to be talking about where it broke on Yontif, because if it broke on Shabbos, before Erev Yontif, what would be the problem? So obviously it broke on Yontif, and still you see there's an issue. Ein masikin. Why ein masikin? Must be there's a muktzah problem. Now we'll see soon in the Gemara what the muktzah problem might be. But the point for now is Moisev Rav Zutroi, a very obvious kasha, or whatever Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. So the Gemara said because of this, Eli Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. You have to tweak what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Obviously we had the wrong Messiah. Rather, Machloikis Shinish Berubah Shabbos. Machloikis says punk fakir. The Machloikis Ramei Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah was dafka when it broke on Shabbos. Mar Sovar Muchan Hu, Umar Sovar Noilad Hu. And the machloikis is, do we say that being that bit knisas ha-shabbos, it was part of the larger keli, so the halacha is it's considered muchan, agav, the larger kli, and as a result, even if it's not so functional anymore on Shabbos, it doesn't matter, still it's going to be okay. That's Rav Meir's shita. And that's where Rav Meir says, as long as you can do something with it, that would be enough. And Marsav and Leila, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that, no. That even though it's true, it was part of the larger kli in the beginning of Shabbos, but being that it broke on Shabbos, panim chadasha is ba'okan. We look at it as noilat. It's no different than the Be'ish and Elda, which the halach is considered mukta. Being that it's considered mukta, it's for that reason it's going to be an issue. Now, it's only noilat, this is very geschmack, if you can't do me'ein malachton. If you can't do me'ein what the original malach is. If, however, you can do me'ein malach, then it's not noilat. Why should it be considered noilat? I had an areva, I had a mixing bowl. Okay, it was a bigger bowl, now it's a smaller bowl. It's true, originally it was whole, now it broke. But being that I could still do me'ein malachton, I don't look at it as noilat. So Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is very geschmack now. Rabbi Yehuda's saying, if I can do me'ein malachton, so then it's not noilat, then it's okay. If I can't do me'ein malachton, then it's going to be noilat. That's going to be a problem. But let's say it would have broken Erev Shabbos. Divrei Hakol Mutarin. Then everybody would hold this mutar. The reason is because that's not noilat. Noilat is when it changed on Shabbos, and it was broke before Shabbos, so it didn't change on Shabbos. And being that it was functional, b'knisas haShabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that would be enough for you to be able to use it. The point is, originally we thought that Rabbi Yehuda was mekabel from his Rebbe Shmuel that the machlokes is dafka where it broke Erev Shabbos, but if it broke on Shabbos, everybody would agree it's okay. After a further review, it's just the opposite. The machlokes is dafka when it broke on Shabbos. If it broke on Erev Shabbos, everybody would agree it is okay. Now, just based on what we have right now, what's the hesber and the machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda if it breaks on Shabbos? This is the second version of Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What we have in machloikis Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Meir, as long as it's functional, no worries. According to Rav Yehuda, no. If you can't do me'ein malachtoi, so panim chadasha is bo'okan. We look at it as noilad. We know that in the sugyos of Muktzah, there's three shitas. There's Rab Shimon shita, there's Rab Yehuda shita, and there's Rab Nechemya shita. Rab Shimon is the biggest mekel in Muktzah. He's such a mekel in Muktzah that the Gemara says Rab Shimon is less like Muktzah, even though it's a misnomer. Of course he holds a Muktzah. But he's so mekel, less like Muktzah. Rab Yehuda was machmer in Muktzah. Rab Nechemya was uber machmer in Muktzah. But the point is, Rab Yehuda is machmer in Muktzah. It's very geschmack. This is Rab Yehuda l'shitasoi, who's machmer in Muktzah. And one of the Kudos, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued, Islay Mukta, Leslay Mukta, was regarding Noilad. So Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa is Islay Noilad. Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa is Islay Noilad. That's why Rabbi Yehuda holds in our Mishnah that if you can do Me'e Malachton, then it's okay when it broke on Shabbos. But if you can't do Me'e Malachton, then it's not. And if it broke before Shabbos, there's no Rabbi Yehuda. The whole Rabbi Yehuda here in this Mishnah, Shabbos, Kuf Chavdal, Namid Beis, is because of Noilad. It's very Gishmak. This Mishnah, Shabbos, Kuf Chavdal, Namid Beis, relates to the Mishnah in Be'ah, Daf Beis, Amid Aleph. It's literally a sugya of Be'ah and all the Beyontif. Over there, it's a chicken and an egg. Over here, it's a keli that broke with a mixing bowl. But it's the same difference. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda's shita here is the shita of Noilad, which is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. In fact, on that note, Zachti Gemara, Tani Chada, we have three braises regarding Shivrei Kelim. One braise, said Masikim Bekelim, Masikim Shivrei Kelim. You light a light of fire on Yontif with a whole Kelim, not with a broken part of it. Tani Bechlinton, another braise, Kishem Shem Masikim Bekelim, Kach Masikim Shivrei Kelim. No, you can fuel the fire with the broken part of a Kelim. Tani Bechlinton, a third braise, Ein Masikim, Loi Bekelim, Loi Shivrei Kelim. That you can't light not with a Kelim and not with the Shever of a Kelim. So what's going on over here? We have a three-way stira. So the Gemara very geshmak. Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemya. Rab Yehuda, who holds of Noilad, so he holds that you can use a keli, you can use the shever of a keli. The shever of a keli is Noilad. Rab Shimon, who doesn't hold of Noilad, he holds you can use a keli, you can use the shever of a keli. Rab Nechemya, who's even more machmer, so we saw Rab Nechemya and Amin Aleph. Rab Nechemya's shita is that the only time you're allowed to use a keli, even a keli shemalachte laheter, is only for the Tashmish HaMeyuchid Loi. So according to Rav Nechemya, you think that the Tashmish HaMeyuchid of this Kli is not to light it as a fire. So he holds not only is the Shever of a Keli going to be a problem, but the Keli itself is going to be a problem as well. Amar Rav Nachman, Hani Livni Deshtayim Ibinyonu. If somebody had bricks that he had set aside to build something with, and now he had leftover bricks. The Allah Shalom, the Allah is, you're allowed to carry those bricks. I mean, even though bricks that are used to carry can pose problems from a muktzah standpoint. Number one, it's a keli shemalachti l'iser. Number two, it could be muktzah machmas chasarikis. If you're going to build a house with it, so you're not going to just use it for anything. It's very valuable. But we're dealing with the leftovers. The leftovers, so that already can be metaltal. Maybe you're going to sit on it, whatever it is. But the point is, the leftovers are okay. Why the chazil mizgalai? Because you could sit on it. such as Shargino. What happens, however, if the person threw them away? So then, Vadayaktinu, or not threw them away, but to the contrary, Sidrin Zualzu, meaning he set them aside so that he's going to use them again in the future. Oh, if you set him aside, he's going to use it again in the future. So even though they're left over from this building, but he's going to use it for the next building. The point is then it goes back to being Kalim or Avonim that are Tashmishay Le Isser or Muktzamach Vizchsar and Kis. In that case, it's going to be in Ish. Omrav Nachman, Omrav Shmuel, Cheres, Ketan, Mutal, Tal, Tabachas. If somebody has a small earthenware shards, you have a small piece of an earthenware keli. The halacha is you're allowed to carry it inside a chatzar. So again, we don't live in this world, so it's hard for us to appreciate the nuances between wooden kelim and earthenware kelim and metal kelim. Of course, in the world of Tumavit, the Haira, these differences are very, very prominent. But even in halacha such as muktzah, just because of the functionality of these different kelim, so it manifests itself differently in terms of hilchas muktzah. So we're dealing with a shard of an earthenware keli, something that's very small. The halacha is you're allowed to carry it in a chatzar. Avol bekarmelus loy, but not in a karmelus. Now, in a karmelus, you never let it carry, right? You can't carry more than dalet amos. But within dalet amos, you are allowed to carry. The chiddush is that even within dalet amos and a karmelus, where there's no iser haitzah, but still there's going to be a mukta issue. Rav Nachman dideyom, Rav Nachman said, afilu bekarmelus. No, you're allowed to carry even in a karmelus. Even a karmelus is not a problem. Avol b'shus harabim loy, but not in a b'shus harabim. V'rabim, a rabim said, afilu b'shus harabim. Even allowed to carry in a b'shus harabim. So it's interesting. We have three shitas in the Amiram as it relates to an earthenware shard. Is it mukta or is it not mukta? So if it's in a chatzar, everyone agrees that it's okay. What about a karmelis? So that's a machlekes. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, in a karmelis it's not okay. Rav Nachman himself said no. Even in a karmelis, within dalet amos, it's going to be okay. But in a rishos harabim, it's for sure not going to be okay. Rava said it's going to be mukta even in a rishos harabim. So what's the shiloh? The shiloh is like this. If you have a small shard of cheres, if whether or not it's mukta will be determined on whether you can do something with it. If you're in a chatzar, chances are you may use it to cover a keli. A chatzar has kelim. Think of a backyard. There's things there. So as a result, there's a good chance that you may decide to use it. Being that you may use it, so as it's not going to be considered mukta. But in a karmelis, there's no kelim. In a Rosh Hashanah Rabin, there's certainly no kelim. So it's for that reason over there it would be considered mukta. Rav Nachman said that even in a karmelis, it's not mukta. And the reason is because people sometimes get together to shmooze, they spatzir in a karmelis. So what happens if you're sitting down in a karmelis and there's a little bit of roik, Rashi said, a little bit of spittle on the floor. So you may want to cover it. So you would take a little cheres to cover it, just so it should be a little bit more batant when you're sitting and shmoozing. In Rosh Hashanah, nobody walks. So in a karmelis, Rav Nachman said, I don't think it's mukta either. But in Rosh Hashanah, you don't do anything in a Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, there's no cheres that you may want to cover with it. You're not going to sit down to shmooze in the Rosh Hashanah. So there's no functionality for the earthenware shard in the Rosh Hashanah. So in the Rosh Hashanah, it's for sure going to be mukta. Rava said, even in the Rosh Hashanah, it's not mukta. Why? So the Gemara va'oz the Rava l'tameis. Rava l'shitas. The Rava have a cause of barista chodim muchuz. Rava was once walking in the shuk and mechayza. That's where he was Rav. Istav soy misanetino. And his shoes became dirty. Also, Shamoy, Shokol Chaspas, his Gabay came, he took an earthenware shard, become a Chabal, he started cleaning it. Rabban Rabban and Kolo. So the Rabban started screaming, Shabbos, Shabbos, what are you doing? Imagine, this is the being Moichan Rava and his Gabay. So Rava said, Loi Mistayit Loi Gmiri, it's not enough, Chevre, that you don't know how to learn, but Migmar Nami Megamri, but you teach? I mean, it's one thing not to know, but if you don't know, okay, so be quiet. But you're an Amma Oritz, and you're yelling now, and you're screaming Shabbos. And what was Rav's reason? Because if I was in a chatzar, would this cheres be mukta? The answer is no. Everybody agrees that in a chatzar it's not mukta. So if that's the case, here too, it's going to be okay for me as well. Meaning, because Rava has a chiddush that once something is not mukta in one place, it's not going to be mukta anywhere. Meaning, location doesn't play a role when it comes to mukta. Interesting. Meaning, there's no such thing that this thing is mukta in a Rosh Hashanah, but it's not mukta in a karmelis. It's mukta in a karmelis, but it's not mukta in a chatzar. Once we determine that this thing has some functionality, albeit in a chatzar, then even if you're a Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to be incident. Incidentally, this Gemara we just learned is another marim mokin for the people in Mechuzah, where you see that they didn't behave so properly. They were screaming at Rava, and Rava gave them teichacha. We've spoken a lot about the people in Mechuzah. The inkam mekoymer laharich. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. This is all me'inyan le'inyan ba'is. Somebody has the cover of a chavis, of a cask, where the cask shattered. So the question is, can I use the shards of the cask? Can I use the cover? Maybe the whole thing becomes muktzah. So says the Gemara, Hagoy Sabach, he ushvare mutar l'tal to b'Shabbos. You're allowed to carry the cover, you're allowed to carry the shards. Hayna mihachim gufish nichasa, he ushvareva mutar l'tal to b'Shabbos. And the reason is, like we said earlier, just like the shever of the cheres, you're allowed to carry because you can always cover something with it. We saw in the Mishnah, kol hakel malitol b'Shabbos shevreim nitolim, because you can always cover something with it. Here too, you can cover something with it. You cover something with it. It has some chashivos, that's why it's not considered moksa. Over like this place, we meant a shever, lachas is supposed to be, but you can't smoothen it out to cover a keli with. Over this mach bakari mito to support a bed with it. And the reason is because if you're going to smooth it, so then you're running into other issues. Rashi says, vahabi makib patish, then you're going to have a makib patish problem. Additionally, vimzar kabash boss, but if you took this shever and you threw it in the garbage, now you can't take it out and you can't use it anymore. Maskev l'rapapa. So Rapapa has the kash on the last halach. Elamiyata, I mean, interesting idea that if you have a broken part of a keli, so we just said it's not muktza. What are you going to do with a broken piece of a keli? Whatever, you cover things with it, there's things to do with it. But if you take it and throw it in the garbage, now you can't take it out of the garbage anymore. Once you threw it in the garbage, it becomes muktzah. So our papa said, let me ask you a question. If somebody would take a shirt and throw it into the garbage, that's it? You can't take it out of the garbage anymore? How could that be? And our papa said, you're right. On Shabbos, if somebody took something that's not muktzah and threw it in the garbage, you can't make it suddenly muktzah. But Erev Shabbos, this is what he was referring to. Erev Shabbos, if somebody would take this shev, and he would throw it into the garbage, then it would be muktza. Why? And the reason is, Tap Rashi, Goli Daite Me Esmo De Lav Manahu. Because really, this whole Shever Keli is questionable. It is a Keli, it's not a Keli. It's only a Keli to the extent that you allow it to have the chashivas of a keli. But once you throw it into the garbage, so that's goli daite, that it's not really chashiv. So it's goli daite. At that point, it wouldn't. Tosa speaks out. By the way, if somebody would take a shirt Erev Shabbos and throw it into the garbage, you would be able to take it out. It wouldn't be considered muktzah. It's only the shever keli, which is questionable. It's controversial whether we should view it as muktzah or not. It's only over there that you have this halacha. Amar Bar Hamduri, Amar Shmuel. Bar Hamduri said in the name of Shmuel, Kremi Shemachzel, somebody has strips of a mat, mutal top of the Shabbos, you let her carry it on Shabbos. Why? My time. I'm a Rav Baram Duri. Asked me. Rav said, Baram Duri explained it to me. What do people use a mat for? To cover dirt with it. This too, you can cover something with. You can cover tzaya. You can cover something with it. Being that you can cover something with it, not only is there a function for it, but it's mein melachton, like Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, and that's why the halach is it's going to be okay. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Shiori Prusmiyos. If somebody has the shirayim of a talis, we're dealing with a talis shel mitzvah. Also the talpul on b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. If somebody's talis sheds, a little piece of it falls off on Shabbos, it becomes muktzah. Abaya said this is only true, only if the piece is less than gimel al gimel, less than three etzbois by three etzbois of tum of etahira fame, of perikra ben madlikim fame. Because if you have a beggar that's so small, no one's going to use it. Not an ani, not an usher, no one's going to use it. Meaning no one's going to use it, so over there we say it has no chashivas. If, however, it would be gimel al gimel, then you can do something with it. Being that you can do something with it, so over there the halacha is that it would not be considered muktzah. Now, the truth is that even though we've been saying up until now that things that are even smaller than that could have a chashivas, somebody will use the last gemara, kroimesh amachzeles, to cover a little bit of tzaya. So why don't we say that a beged, a part of a talis, even if it's less than gimel al gimel, maybe you'll use it to cover a little bit of tzaya? The answer is because we're dealing with a talis shel mitzvah. Talis shel mitzvah no one's going to use for something degrading. You can only use it for something of chashivas. Over there we have a klal as a beged, the smallest share is gimel al gimel. But enochinami, if you're dealing with a mat, so you have a little strip of a mat, you have an earthenware keli that broke, yeah, you'll take the shard and you'll use it for something even not chashuv. The point is, this is a talis shel mitzvah. I mean, that's a talis shel mitzvah. In halacha, it's treated differently. Tanu rabbanu, we learned in a braisa. So the Gemara is going to introduce a braisa. The braisa is going to mention a machloikis remain Rabbi Yehuda. The braisa is also going to be very, very cryptic. So cryptic that the Gemara is going to have three studim, what exactly the Braisa is even talking about. One of them, or actually two of them, relate very much to the Machlokes Remein Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, which is why it's right here on Daf Kuf Chav Hei Amud Aleph. Shivrei Tanu Yashin. If somebody has the broken shard of an old oven, Harein Kekol HaKelim HaNitolim B'Chatzis. The halach is, we look at it like all kelim that are allowed to be carried in a chatzis, meaning it's not mukt. Divir Amir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Nitolim, no, you're not allowed to carry it. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Lezman Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda said, Eidos in the name of Rabbi Lezman Yaakov. Shivrei Tanu Yashin. That if you have the shards of an old Tanush HaNitolim B'Shabbos, like Rameir that you're you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Another thing that Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, Valkisuyoi, the cover of a keli, in its arach beis yad, it doesn't have to have a handle in order for it to be mutter to carry. Zok de gemar. But my kumifli. So we have a machloikis in Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda related to the shvarim of a tanur yashan, but something's missing. It's ikkar chasim and asefer. So what exactly was the machloikis? Again, shivrei tanur yashan. We're dealing with an old oven, that's for sure. We're dealing with the shards of an old oven. According to Rameyer, it's like a any keli that's not mukta, you're allowed to carry it. It will be in a chatzah. Rabbi Yehuda said, any tolem, no, you're not allowed to carry it. So the Gemara, Rabbaya, the first pshat, but isamei melacha, veinoisamei melachdom, kamifugi. The machloikis is mamish, the machloikis in our Mishnah. We're dealing with this shever of the Tanur Yashan was functional. You were able to do something with it, but you couldn't use it as an oven. You couldn't use a mei melachdoi. Rameyer said, as long as you can use it, it's not muksa. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you have to use a mei melachdoi. Says the Gemara, azdu Rabbi Yehuda tamei, Rameyer tamei. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitas, Rameyer l'shitas. The same Rameyer in our Mishnah that said, uvachi uisamei melacha, says over here, you're allowed to carry it. The same Rabbi Yehuda that says, no, it has to be mei melachdoi. Oh, this shever of a tanner. What are you doing with it? It's not mei melachdoi. It's not mei melachdoi. It's for that reason he had a promise. Rav asked the kashi. He says, I hear. But he, Yochi, if that's the case, Abaya, Adam Miflige, Beshivre Tanner, Liflige Beshivre Kid, why were they talking about the shever of a tanner? It sounds like the machloikas was unique to a tanner. What does it have to do with a tanner? According to you, it's true for the shever of any keli. Hello, my Rava said, I think the machlokes is something else. But should be the high tanner gemiflik. They're arguing about the following tanner, the tanner that's mentioned in the fifth perek of Mesechtes Kalim, a very obscure halacha. The time we learned to the Mishnah, Nasne al pi abay, ay al pi ados. If somebody had an oven, the oven was not on the ground. It wasn't even attached to the ground. But rather what he did was, and again, if you have a picture, it's worth 1,000 words, but what he did was he put it inside a bar or inside a dus, inside some ditch in the ground. Now, it didn't fit snugly into that hole. So what he did was, is he took a rock, he put it on the side, v'nasan sham even, so that the rock closed the little gap between the oven and the width of the hole, and like this it was able to stand. So it's suspended in the ear, technically, but one side of the oven is attached to one side of the pit, the other side is attached to a stone, which is attached to the other side of the pit. Now what he did was, underneath he lit a fire, and the idea is you're going to cook something inside the tanner. The heat is going to come from the bottom of the pit, which is not inside the oven. It's underneath the oven, and that's how it's going to fuel it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im masik milmato." If when you light the fire on banav, who nisak milmalu, you're able to cook food properly inside the oven, tome, it's considered a tanner. A tanner is mekabel tumah, and you have all the halachas of a tanner being mekabel tumah. Vim lav, but if you can't heat it properly, tahar, the halach is, it's going to be tahar. And it seems that whether or not it's going to be able to cook properly depends on how big the gap is between the oven and the rack, and the side of the bar. If the rack is there snugly enough that it really retains the heat, so then it's going to be able to cook properly. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to cook properly. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda says, whether or not this oven is going to be tame or not, assuming it later becomes tame, meaning whether or not it could be mekabel tuma, depends on whether the heat that's underneath the oven will be able to properly heat up. Chacham say no. Why should this be the halacha? An oven is an oven is an oven. So why in the world shouldn't it be able to be mekabel tuma? Says the Gemara. What's the machloikis? Machloikis is something very technical. Machloikis is related to exeris akasa. The pasuk says related to a tanner that became tame because of an avela. V'cholah sheyipa minivlasan ol. To my sherets, yitma tanu v'kirayim yutots tmeim heim utmeim yulochem. Rab Yehuda was medayik the word yutats. So what does it mean to yutats? If an earthenware keli becomes tamei, there's no way to be metired in a mikvah. The only way to be metired is to destroy it. A tanu was made of cheres, so the only way to be metired the tanner would be by destroying it. But the Torah didn't just say break it. It didn't say yishav there. It said yutatz. And Rabbi Yehuda held, just in diktuk, that the word yutatz means take something that's attached to the ground and detach it, and demolish it. So they say, Meres, the tanner that the Torah is talking about, that's mekabel tumah, is a tanner that's attached to the ground. So Rabbi Yehuda has exeris akasav that the only time a tanner is mekabel tumah is if it's attached to the ground. That's why Rabbi Yehuda has an issue with this tanner. Rabbi Yehuda is trying to figure out, is this tanner attached to the ground? Then it's mekabel tumah. Is it not attached to the ground? Then it's not mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda holds mechusa netitza tamish and mechusa netitza tar. Any tanner that doesn't need netitza, it's not attached to the ground, you don't have to demolish it to break it, is not going to be Tameh. So if that's the case, so we have to figure out, so Rabbi Yehuda had a way of determining whether it's considered attached. If the fire that's on the bottom of the pit could heat the oven, so then we look at the oven as if it's attached to the bottom of the pit, meaning we look at it as if it's attached to the ground. Oh, if it's attached to the ground, then the halachas is mekabel tov. Now it won't be kabel tov. Rabbi Abanon hold tmeim yulechem. It says in the pasuk tmeim yulechem. Meaning it's true, it says yutatz. And it's true, Rabbi Yehuda. Yutatz means what you say it means. It means it's attached, which would seem, it would be mash, but the only time it is mekabel tov is if it's attached to the ground. But it also says tmeim yulechem, and that's a ribuy. Says, and that's mar, but that any time it is mekabel tov, even if it's not attached to the ground. It says, Rabbi Abanon, nam yoksev yutatz. What Rabbi Abanon do with yutatz? It's coming to teach me a different halacha. So that I would have thought keeping the chabri barak who for the arad, because really Rabbi Yehuda's halacha is a tremendous chiddush. It's a chiddush because mechatesi, who says the tanner has to be attached to the ground? Okay, that's a chiddush, obvious. But the reason it's even a bigger chiddush is because usually what's the halacha when it comes to tumah v'taira? If something's mechubal lekarka, it's not mekabel tumah. So he's saying a monster chiddush. Number one, it has to be attached. Number two, it's mekabel tumah when it's attached. That's a tremendous chiddush. So the Gemara says the reason, according to the Chachamim, the Torah said the word yutatz is to teach me the second chiddush, because you would have thought, fakir, maybe the only time a tana is mekabel tumah is if it's not attached to the ground. But if it's attached to the ground, it's dafka, not mekabel tumah. And the reason it's because it's mechabel lekarka kamash vidach nami yoksef tmei milchem. Rabbi Yehuda who holds yutatz, what does it do with tmei milchem? Tmei milchem, the Rabbanan said, is marba, even if it's detached. What are they? Rabbi Yehuda mashmul, Amar Rabbi Yehuda mashmul, machlekes the hasak rishon. Machlekes is if it was never attached to the ground and then it became tumah. So the question is mekabel tumah is not mekabel tumah. The hasak sheni, let's say this time it was attached to the ground. Then you detached it, and then it became tamei. Once it was attached to the ground one time, and it was heated, so even if the second time you heated it, it wasn't attached, I feel tamei b'tzav, even if it's hanging from the neck of a gomel, doesn't matter. The halacha is it would be mekabel tumah. Amar Ula said, the hesek rishon l'rabbanon, the first heating according to Rabbanon is also I feel tamei b'tzav or gomel. What's the chiddush of that? So you have to know. But the point is that the Rabbi Yehuda only said as halacha if it was never attached to the ground. Once it was attached to the ground, even if it was later detached, the halacha is at that point it's going to be mekabel tumah. What's the bottom line? What do you see from here? You have a machloikis over here related to a specific tanner, whether it's mekabel tumah or it's not mekabel tumah. This is a tanner that was never attached to the ground, but it's a tanner. And now Sheretz, one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, of Perik Shmoyne Shrotzim fame, lands inside. So now the question is, does the Tana become Tomei? Does it not become Tomei? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't become Tomei. According to the Chachamim, it does become Tomei. Who's Stam Bal Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda? Who's the Chachamim? Usually when there's a Machlek, you're reading the Chachamim. It's Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, what comes out then is you have a machlokes between Rav Meir regarding a specific tanner. Is it a keli? Is it not a keli? So the Gemara says, Gevaldik. Just like you have a machlokes, is it a keli? Is it not a keli? As it relates to Tumah V'Taira, you'll have the same machlokes, is it a keli? Is it not a keli? As it relates to Mukta. If it's a keli, it's not Mukta. If it's not a keli, it is going to be considered Mukta. So this Brisa said, Rava, Shivrei Tanu Yoshon, Arei can call a keli Tumah V'Chasim Rav Meir. Meir says you can carry it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't carry it. What are we talking about? A regular shard of a keli? The machlokes Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah Kuf Chavdal and Mabeza, why are we talking about a tanner? No, we're talking about a tanner because the machloikis was on that tanner. Which tanner? This obscure tanner, the fifth parak in the sect scalar. This tanner. And that's the machloikis where Meilu Shitasoi holds that even if it's not attached to the ground, it's a keli, that's why you can carry it. Rabbi Yehuda holds not. So Rava said, I think this is the machloikis. Says the Gemara of Ravashi. Ravashi asked the Bambakasha on Rameir, on Rava, Ihachi, Ad the Mithlgibet Shivre Tanner, Lithlgibet Tanner. So why do they argue about the Shever of a tanner? Could have had the same machloikis. What's the machloikis? Machloikis is in the tanner, not in the shever of the tanner. You're right, el chapa nafkamina in the shever of a tanner. But why are they talking about shivrei tanner? Shouldn't they be talking about the tanner itself? Hash the tanner, go for the Rabbi Yehuda le'avimano. If the tanner is not a keli according to Rabbi Yehuda, shvar of mibay, so why are they talking about the shever? Talk about the tanner. Elam Ravashi, Ravashi said, I'll tell you pshat. Lo'olam kidamar mikar, pshat is really like we said originally. What's originally? The machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa is the same as the machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Kuf Chavdal Amid Beis. What was the kasha? So why are they arguing about a Shivrei Tanner? In the Mishnah Kuf Chavdal Amid Beis, they argued about all Shivrei Kelim. Mei Malacha, Mei Malachton. So why here they arguing about a Tanner? But Oysa Maisa Tafka. So talking about something specific. We're talking about with the shard of the Tanner was able to be used to cook food inside of it. You were able to put a little fire underneath it and put food on top of it, and you could have used it, may aim the tanner. Rameir is the one talking in this braisa, and he's talking to Rabbi Yehuda. Lididi, according to me, I hold, that's my sheet in the Mishkuf Chavdal Amid Beis, that even if you can only do Mei Melacha, that's enough for it to be okay. If a keli breaks, the shard, the halacha is, even if you can only do Mei Melacha, that's enough. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that, no, if it breaks, it only works if it's Mei Melachtai. And what was the pshat again? This is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. who's Islay Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Noilad, but Oidili Mia, please, Rabbi Yehuda, at the very least, can you acknowledge, can you concede that Dechai Gavna Malachtu? Can we agree that in this case, meaning we've already agreed to disagree as it relates to the halachas of Noilad on Shabbos, the Shever of Akeli, where I can use it for something, I can't use it for a malachtoi. But in this case, I don't think we should be arguing, because you can use the Shever of the Tana for something, right? So it has some function. So if it has some function, that should be enough. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda and the Brice responded, he said, no, Rabbi Yehuda loy dami. It's still not the same, because Hasam has seken b'fnim halacha b'seken b'fot. A Tana was heated from the inside. This, you're heating from the outside. Hasa mumud, hachala mumud. A regular tana, the pot would be standing up. Over here would have to be on sideways, the food. The point is, there are enough differences that it is noilad. It is a panim chadashos ba'okam, and that's where Yehuda would argue, even in this case. The bottom line is, just to appreciate what the Gemara just did, there was a brisa that the Chachamim had been Messiah. The Amiram had a brisa that was brought into Beis Medrash, where there was machloikas between Ramein, Rabbi Yehuda, and there was missing information. They were trying to figure out. They were struggling. Abaya, Rava, Ravashi. What's Pashupshat? What was the context of this brisa? It was related to Muktzah. It was dealing with the shard of a Tanner. And the Amiram Pasha were missing information. If Ramey Rabbi Yehuda was standing here, they could have told us. But they weren't here. And this is what the Amiram did. They worked on editing the Mishnayos and the Brises and understanding it and adding pirush and commentary and clarity where there was a lack of clarity. So you have a whole Amid Gemara that presented a Brisa where the Amiram were trying to figure out exactly what this Brisa was talking about. And we had three attempts. Abaya said, that machleks Ramey Rabbi Yehuda is mamish the Mishra Kuf Chavdala Mabez. Had a problem with it. Rava said, I think this Mishnah is related to, or this Machloikis in this Brisa is related to a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Masechtas Kelim. Until finally Ravashi, who, as he often did, Ravina Ravashi was Sefer Rav. Ravashi wrote the Shas. So Ravashi very often is has the final say in the Gemara. And Ravashi says, no, really, it's related to our Mishnah. Rava's problem, you can address Rava's problem. Hey, Rav Yossi, Mishum, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tanur Yoshan, Shenitol B'Shabbos. Rav Yossi said two things in the name of Elezer ben Yaakov. Edus. Blessed Ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. So Blessed Ben Yaakov isn't just another Tana. Blessed Ben Yaakov says something, almost always the Halacha is going to follow him. And this is an Eidos in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Number one, Shivrei Tana Yoshan Nitolim Shabbos like Rabbi Meir. Number two, Val Kisuya, the cover, Shein Tzarech Beis, doesn't have to have hand. Omer Rabbi Nekmam Taldino, Eidon Kisa Tanu B'Masa Mechasya. We in Masa Mechasya, we carry the cover of a Keli, even without a handle. Who are we going like? The Inland Beis Achizah, Kamer Lezim Yaakov. It's all based on this toast testimony of Lezim Yaakov. It was Masa Mechasya. Masa Mechasya was Surah. Who founded the Kehila of Surah? Rav. The Gemara Kuf Ches Amid Aleph. The Geras of Rav Shira Goyin. Zok the Mishnah Vaita. Ho Evan Shep the Keiruya. So Keiruya, Rashi says, is a Dalas Yevesha Chalula. So think of a pumpkin shell. Very large pumpkin shell. It was dried out. And you used it for something. They didn't throw it in the garbage, but they found something to use it for. So Rashi said, what did they use it for? They would use it to take water out of the well. Reading Rashi, because it's light, in a shayeves. It was very hard for it to go underwater to pull out the water. El Tzaf, it would float on top. So what they did was, they would put a stone in it, it would make it heavy, it would sink to the bottom of the well, and like this, it would be able to take out water. So the question is like this. You want to take water out of this well or this body of water on Shabbos. There's no Hitzah problem, no Rosh Hashanah Karmelis problem. You made a net, whatever it is. That's not an issue. The question is the stone. And Evan is usually Muktzah. So is this Evan that's inside this shell, is it considered Muktzah or is it not considered Muktzah? So the Mishnah says like this, Im Mimalimbav, in an Efeles, if when you fill water up with it, it doesn't fall out, then Mimalimbav, then you're allowed to use it. Then it's not Muktzah. It's considered attached, it's not Muktzah. Vimlav, otherwise, Im Mimalimbav, then it's going to be a problem. Similar halachas, Moira, Shehi Keshura, if you have a vine that's attached to a tafiach, to a pail, Mimalimbav B'Shabbos, the halach is, if it's attached, it's not considered muktzah, even though vine is usually considered muktzah, but if it's attached to a pail, you'd be allowed to be metalted on Shabbos. Pekaka chaloin, this will be the topic of the first part of tomorrow's daf. This is a window shutter. Reb Lezer says it's not true kosher. If it's tied to the wall, the taluy, and it's not on the floor, it's hanging, poikin by, you're allowed to close it on Shabbos. If not, ain't poikin by, we'll see what this all means tomorrow. Chaloin, chaloin, say, benkach or benkach, poikin by. Tanan, hasi, we learned in the Mishnah. Evan, shalpiach chavis. If there was a stone that was on top of a chavis, if somebody had a chavis, a cask of wine. On top of it, there was an Evan. The problem is, he needs wine. And you're not allowed to remove the Evan. The Evan is Muktzah. So the Mishnah says, Mata al tzidav hinei fellas. What you can do is, you can, don't touch the stone, just touch the cask, move it to the side, cause the Evan to fall off, No worries. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. The names matter in this Gemara. So Rabba said in the name of Rav Ami, who said in the name of Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan had a Talmud Rav Ami, who had a Talmud Rabba. So Rabba said, I was Mekabel from Rav Ami, who was Mekabel from Rav Yochanan. Lo yishanu ela b'sheicheach. This is only true if the stone that's on top of the cask was left there by mistake. Avo b'meniach, if somebody put it there b'kavona, then you can't do this trick. Why not? Because Nasa busses the davarasa, so we know enough muktzah to appreciate this. Because then the cask becomes muktzah. The whole point is the cask is not muktzah. Why should it be muktzah? The stone is muktzah. Yeah, but the problem is once the stone is muktzah, the cask is memeila muktzah. Because the busses the davarasa. Also, Rabbi said, I heard from Rav Ami, heard from Rabbi Yochanan that it's true. This halacha is only if it was there by mistake. But if you put it there by kavana, it's a bus. And this is based on the halacha that the only time something becomes a bus is b'meiniach. If you put it there by mezid, but if you put it there by mistake, it doesn't become a bus. Again, the names. Rav Yosef said, I heard from Rav Asi, you heard from Rav Yochanan. Just the opposite. This halacha was true. If it was put to the kavana, nasa kisus lachavas, then even the evan is not muksa. Because then the evan was deemed a covering. You put it there, lechatchilo. Or you put it there, lechatchilo, so it's a covering, then it's not going to be a problem. So we have a machloikis between Rabba Amar Rav Ami Amar Rav Yochanan and Rav Yosef Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rabba and Rav Yosef are often bali plucked in chas. You have Rabba on one side, Rav Yosef on the other side, Rav Ami and Rav Asi also. Rav Ami is on one side and Rav Asi is on the other side. So it's Rabba in the name of Rav Ami, it's Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Asi. Again, the names will matter. And they're both tracing it back to Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba, Rabba first. Again, oh, what's the machlokes? Yeah, that's important. So again, the machlokes is if somebody put an evan on top of a cask, he did it there by kavana. He put it there before Shabbos. Talach is now you want to take some wine out. What should you do? Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Ami, you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, there's nothing you can do. Because usually there's a trick. You can tilt the cask, cause the event to fall off. But here the cask is muksa, because the cask is a basis of davar aser. Rabbi Yosef said, I heard from Abasi who said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, just the opposite. He said, no worry, just pick up the rock. What's the problem? What do you mean? A rock is muksa? Not now. If you purposely put it on top of the cask, obviously you wanted it to cover the cask. Oh, you made it a kisoy. It's going to be fine. I'm a rabbi. So rabbis in my sfinah nashmaitin that I asked the kasha on my mesira, the way I was makabal the halacha from Rav Ami in the name of Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah household Evich Bikiruya in the Malabah in the Fells with Malabah that you see that what's the halacha that if the Evan is not going to fall off when you take water out of the well, then the halacha is Mimalabah. So you see that the Evan doesn't make this shell into a basis. You see, it's not a problem. Also, you see, it's not a problem. So why am I saying it's a problem? It's a cash on me. You see, the Evan can be okay. Over there, you attached it. You put it together very tightly. That's why it doesn't fall off when you put it on the water. So therefore, it's considered part of the shell. That's why it's not muksa. But ordinarily, the Evan is muksa. And if the Evan is muksa, it then makes the chavis of Yain also muksa. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said the same thing. I asked the cash on my sheet. Again, what was Rav Yosef? That if you put it to the kavana, it's considered a keli. In lav, from the second part of the Mishnah, that if it's not attached, well, meaning if it does fall off, aim a mountain, but you're not allowed to use it. So what do you see from there? See, you see again, you see the same thing. You see that we don't look at it as a keli. Because it's not, well, you know, he said, but it's not a kasha. Keep it like hot, keep it to the battle. Over there, if you just put it there, you didn't attach it to it, so it's not really going to be functional. It's going to easily fall off. It's going to easily fall off, so you're showing that you don't really want it to be a keli. But if you cover a chavis with an evan, you want it to be a keli, there will be a keli. Bottom line, says the Gemara, my komifli, what's this machloikis? Rabba, I'm Rav Ami, I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, the machloikis is false. Marsava bina maisa, umarsava loy bina maisa. An evan in its natural state, an evan wakes up in the morning as being muktzah. The question is, I want to take this evan now, I want to convert it. I don't want it to be muktzah. So do I have to make a maisa to it? I have to physically alter it in order for it to not be muktzah or not? That's the machloikis. So Rabba, in the name of Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Yochanan, said that you have to do a maisa to it in order for it to not be muksa. Just putting it on top of a chavis is not a maisa. So if it's not a maisa, it remains muksa. If you now put that thing that's muksa on top of a chavis, not only is the Evan muksa, but now even the chavis is muksa, becomes a basal, a davar aser. But Rav Yosef, in the name of Asi, held faker. They said, no, just the opposite. They said that that you don't need to do a maisa to something to make it not muksa. Or the way Rashi explains, do a little mice, a little something. I put it on top of a chavis. That's enough for it to not be muksa. Oh, it's not muksa. So if I care, now it's a covering. So the evan is not muksa, and certainly the cast that it's covering is not going to be muksa either. Says the Gemara, for us the litamayu. In fact, Not Rabban Rav Yosef, but Rav Ami and Rav Asi. That's why the names matter. Because it was Rabban Rav Ami and Rav Yechanan, it was Rav Yosef and Rav Asi and Rav Yechanan. The first Hisafa, the first commentary of the Gemara was on the Rabban and Rav Yosef level. The second commentary is on the Rav Ami and the Rav Asi level. So the Gemara says, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, El Vashita Sayyidah. So Rav Dimi and Rav Chanin, Rav Ami, Lom Rav Zeir and Rav Chanin. So Rav Dimi and some say Rav Zeir came back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and they reported a story. The story was like this. Pam Achatolik, Rebbe the Malkamacha, Rebbe once went someplace with his Talmidim. Umatz and Nidbach Shalavanim and he saw a row of bricks. He told the Talmidim, Tzu Vechishvu Kadesh and Eshvalay Lamach. Tomorrow it's going to be Shabbos and we're going to have to sit on these kalim, and it looks like these stones were prepared for building. So the muktza. So we have to do something. We have to do something to it. But Rebbe didn't require them to do a ma'isa. Rabbi Yochanan had a different version of the story. No, it's Srichem Rebbe la'ma'isa. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Rebbe did require them to do a ma'isa. My, what was this ma'isa? My, I'm a little Rebbe. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Ami said, Tzu v'lamdum. He told them, go set it up. Meaning, set up these stones so we'll be able to sit on them tomorrow. Rav Asi said, you have to know where to put the commas. Tzu v'shif shifum amaluhu. No, what he told them was, he told them, go clean them. Meaning he required them to actually do a ma'isa. So what do you see from here? What's the ba'azul tamay? It's a little tricky. The ba'azul tamay is like this. There was no real ma'isa to do, right? What happened? Rebbe shows up. It's Erev Shabbos. He knows where he's going to spend Shabbos. They're going to have to sit the island. They don't have chairs. They don't have benches. Where are you going to sit? You're going to sit on bricks. You're going to sit on stones. He saw bricks that were set up for binyan. That's Kedush Malach Delisser. This is Muktzah 101. So Rebbe told the Talmid the two versions of what happened. We're going with Rabbi Yochanan's version. The Rabbi Yochanan said that, no, Rebbe told the Talmidim, he says, go in and prepare it. You can't just sit on it on Shabbos. Prepare it. You should be able to sit on it. What did they do? What was the preparation? You know what Rav Ami said they did? They set it up in a way where you shouldn't have to sit on it. Tzei v'lamdum. I mean, you shouldn't have to touch it. All you'll have to do is sit on it. Tzei v'lamdum. There was nothing to do. So he just said, prepare it. Rav Asi said, no, they did a little something. What they did was they cleaned it. What's the machlokes? There was nothing real to do, right? Because what are you going to do? There was nothing real to do. But there was something little you could do. A ma'isa koldehu. Rav Asi felt that's what he said. He said do a ma'isa koldehu. Because by doing a ma'isa koldehu, it won't be muktzah anymore. Then you can be metalta. Because Rav Asi holds a ma'isa koldehu is enough. A little knitch is enough to take something from being muktzah to not muktzah. Rav Ami held a ma'isa koldehu is not enough. You'd have to do something of significance. So if you'd have to do something of significance, so there was nothing of significance to do, so Fakhari told him, we're going to have to set up these chairs in a way we're not going to have to touch them. Because you could touch them, but you won't have to be metalta them. Right, you let us sit on something that's muktzah. You let us touch something that's muktzah. You can lean on a car as Shabbos. You just can't move a car. Right, you can't move something. So the point was, in Rav Ami held that there was no etzah. There was nothing you could do to take these stones and make them not muktzah. Rav Asi did have an etzah. So the Gemara Gishmak, Gevaldik, it's Lashitasai. Rav Ami Lashitasai, Rav Asi Lashitasai. Rav Ami Lashitasai, who holds that a little mice is not enough to make something not muktzah. Putting a stone on top of a cask is not enough to make it not muktzah. So what would you do here? You would clean it? That's garnish. So if that's garnish, he had to set it up in a way. We don't have to be metal. Rav Asi Lashitasai holds that putting the stone on top of the cask is enough to make it not muktzah. Oh, it's enough to make it not muktzah. You only have to do something little. He told him, do something little, and then you will be able to move it if you want, because you'll be able to convert it from being muktzah to not muktzah. Zok de Gemara Itmar. Rabbi Yosef Menshal added a little information to the story. Sabra shal kairis hava. These were beams. Rabbi Yechon Menshal, Amar Yechon says, gosha shal sfina hava. This was something that the sailor uses. He puts it in like an oar. He puts it in front of his ship to put it in the ground to make sure that the water is not too shallow so that the ship won't get stuck. So to give him a mandam a goshish, kol shkin tzav, mandam says it was a goshkish. So certainly Rebbe would have done this with a savra. Mandam a savra, mandam that says that it was the beams of a goshish. Kapital it could be if it was a goshish, they would have never done this. And the reason is because had it been a goshish, then it could be you'd be running into mukta machmas chasar kiss. It was a very expensive thing. Mukta machmas chasar kiss is a whole different issue, and no one would have been able to sit on this.